Welcome back to the guidebook, everybody. This week, I have my friend Jackie on to talk about how she started her own guiding business, The Girls Trip, while having multiple other jobs. So if you're someone who is juggling another job with trying to start your growing business, this is the podcast for you. We're going to talk about how community helped her grow her business, why she got started in the first place, and what continues to fuel the fire behind building her business. If you want to know how you can also go on a girls trip, keep listening at the end of this episode. Jackie talks about the upcoming trips that she'll be hosting. Before we get started, though, I want to hear from you. If there's someone you want to hear on the podcast, shoot me an email at rachelhmeltzer@gmail.com. I would love to know who you want to see on the show. And yes, you can nominate yourself. I also want to give you a little update on how the show is going to work going forward. It will be a bi-weekly podcast, so you'll hear from me every other Monday. Sometimes we'll have solo casts that are just information for freelancers and resources. And other times there'll be interviews with cool people like Jackie who are getting outside and also running their own businesses to inspire you to go out and take the risk yourself. All right, y'all, let's hear from Jackie. This is The Guidebook. We're sharing tips for freelancers, raw conversations with risk takers, how to become a digital nomad, and the emotions behind it all. I'm your host, Rachel. On the show, I share everything I've learned in the past 5 years of freelancing and living nomadically, showing you how you can work to live instead of living to work. I'm interviewing some of my favorite digital nomads and entrepreneurs to help you unlock your bravest self. If you want to become a freelancer or a digital nomad, this is the podcast for you.
I just got off the river. I was rafting today.
So nice.
Yeah, finally had a sunny day up here. Took advantage of it. So my name is Jackie. My trail name is Dirt Nap. I acquired that on my AT through hike in 2020. Right now, I do a lot outside. So my business that I own is called The Girls Trip Adventure Co. It is primarily a women's backpacking company. So I take women backpacking all over the US. We do beginner-friendly backpacking trips. We do intermediate trips. We do single day events up in Maine. We also do some skiing and snowboarding events as well. I'm also a raft guide up here in Maine on a class 4 river. And I do a lot of backpacking just on my own, hiking, camping, snowboarding. In the winter, I work as a snowmaker, so I'm outside for that. Pretty much everything that I do for fun or for money is outside.
That's incredible. I feel like that's the dream for a lot of people.
I got tired of working jobs that weren't anything that I was passionate about or that made me happy. And like, I got tired of living for the weekend, and my job kind of is the weekend now. And like, my job is people's vacation. It's very fulfilling and it's a lot of fun. And I just feel like a kid.
That's amazing. I feel like so many of us are just chasing after our inner child, being like, where'd it go? How do I nurture it? And you're just like, doing it all the time.
That makes me sad. Like, we should still have scraped knees and we should still be sunburned and we should still have stuck in our hair, you know? Like, that shouldn't fade away when you turn 16 or whatever. Like, I'm 30 and I still have scrapes and cuts and leaves in my shorts.
yeah, totally. I completely agree. I know your business sort of came to fruition because of your outdoor adventures and your hiking and all of that. So how did you get into backpacking in the first place?
I didn't grow up like a super outdoorsy person, and not because I didn't like it. My parents weren't really outdoorsy. And so like, I just never was really exposed to it. Like, their idea of the outdoors is in an RV, which is fine. Yeah, I didn't grow up like going on camping trips and backpacking and stuff like that. My mom did used to take us on this hike right by our house called Stone Mountain, and we used to hike that with her when we were really little. But when I was in college, I got my scuba diving certifications, got my open water and then my advanced open water. For my open water trip, we camped for the weekend, and I was like, I think I was 20 years old at this point, and I'd never slept in a tent before. And so wow. I was like, oh my God, I have to camp. Like, I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to set up a tent. I'm going to look like an idiot. That was my first time camping. It was awesome. I was like, this is the coolest thing I've ever done. Why was I not doing this as a kid? And then I joined a trip with our outdoor club in college, which I wasn't a part of, but they offer trips and like anyone can go on them. It was a trip down to Rainbow Springs in Florida, and we were kayaking and camping. And so I got a couple of my other friends to come with me, and it was a pretty big trip. Like I think it was around like 15 of us maybe. That was the first night I ever slept in a hammock instead of a tent. And I just remember like waking up to a cool breeze in Florida and just being like, wow, I survived a night in a hammock. Nothing attacked me. I was fine. Like that was the coolest thing ever. And I was like totally hooked after that trip. This is going to sound so dumb, but I just remember like all the people like in this group, like all wore Chacos. And I was like,
yeah,
I should wear Chacos because all these outdoorsy people are wearing Chacos. Totally. And yeah, you probably know how that goes.
We all go through that phase. I have a pair of Chacos.
Yeah.
Wonder why I got those.
Yeah, it's like your little like granola girl phase, you know, when you're younger. So that's kind of like when it all started. And then, so I went to college in South Georgia where it's just totally flat. There's like nothing to hike. But then after college, I graduated. I moved back up to Northeast Atlanta where my parents live. All of my friends were either still in school or they had graduated and moved off to different states. And I had like no friends around, it felt like. But I had my dog who I got when I was 20, and he had a lot of energy back then and he loved being outside. And so I was like, I'll just start hiking with Mason. That was his name. And so I was like, I'll just start taking Mason up to the mountains. And it's only like an hour and a half drive from where my parents live. So yeah, I just started driving up to North Georgia a ton, started hiking a lot. It was a lot of solo stuff. And then I was working at an outdoor store called Gander Mountain, which doesn't exist anymore, but it's kind of like Bass Pro, but with more hiking than Bass Pro. Mm-hmm. And there was a backpack on sale. It was like $90 on sale. I was like, oh, what a good deal. I can't not buy this, but I have no use for it. But what a good deal. So I was like, I'm going to buy this backpack. And then I'm going to start backpacking. I am going to use it. And it was like my most prized possession. It was, you know, like nothing that I would backpack with now. It's like a very heavy pack and it's got zippers and like all the things that like I don't need anymore.
Everybody's first pack.
Exactly. I kind of wish I still had it. I really miss it. But I sold it to a girl who was backpacking for the first time. So it moved on to, you know, better adventures. My very first backpacking trip was me and my boyfriend at the time. And I think that my brother and his now wife went too. There's a picture somewhere, but I was wearing my Chacos and I was wearing cotton flannel and a cotton t-shirt, just like all this stuff that like I wouldn't wear now, like one of those giant foam roll-up pads, you know, that goes like on the bottom of your pack, like just ridiculous. And it was only like a 2 mile hike in and 2 miles out, but it was the time of my life. I was like, this is the absolute coolest thing. Like, I can't believe I just carried everything I need for one night on my back. I set up a tent, brought the same hammock that I slept in college. And it was just like the coolest experience. And it just felt very free and liberating to be able to go and like live in the woods for a night, you know? Mm. So that was my first time backpacking. That just got the dice rolling and started everything.
Did it feel physically challenging when you first started?
That first trip, no, just because that hike is short and it's, from what I remember, it's relatively flat. It's a waterfall I'd hiked to in Georgia multiple times. Once I started really backpacking like multiple days, oh yeah, it kicks your ass.
totally. Yeah.
So hard, but you get to the top of a mountain and the view that you get and the solitude you get and the physical confidence you get is so worth every painful step and all of the heavy breathing and all of the, once you get to the top, it's so worth it, especially as a female, just knowing that you just did this really hard thing and you didn't need a guy to carry your stuff and you didn't need a guy to navigate. And you're just like, I'm a bad bitch. I did this on my own, you know?
Yes. Yeah, totally. Would you say that before you started backpacking, you felt ill-equipped or discouraged, or like you didn't really have role models that looked like you to look up to?
I didn't have anybody close to me that backpacked. The only people that I knew that I can think of is just like the people that were in that outdoorsy club from college, who I really wasn't close with any of them. I just went on that one trip and I never joined the club, which is so ironic because knowing me now, you probably led the outdoor group at your college, but like that just wasn't my vibe. You know, I played sports. I wasn't like the hiker girl. I like played lacrosse and did that stuff. I just like didn't really know anybody, and that's why I did it on my own. I grew up with two brothers, so I've always kind of been a tomboy and been very stubborn and do things my own way. So, you know, it's like, I want a backpack. I'm going to go do this. I don't need anybody's help with this. Unfortunately, no, I didn't really have like a role model for it. I just kind of like figured it out. I read a lot of books. I followed a ton of backpackers on Instagram. At that time, I followed a lot of people that were through hiking, the AT and the PCT. And I kind of just like learned from them. I would look at their gear and see what they were carrying. I would read their posts about like their emotions when backpacking to kind of know what to expect, like mentally and emotionally, which is the biggest aspect of backpacking in all honesty.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
That's kind of how I taught myself basically. You know, it sounds weird to say you taught yourself because like it's literally just one foot and the other walking through the woods.
Yeah.
But it's still, you do need a mentor.
Being able to show up and set up your tent in less than 3 minutes and pack all the right gear and have the right amount of food and carry the right amount of water and know how to filter your water and where not to get water and how to navigate. Like, these are all skills. Like, there are a lot of skills that go into backpacking, even though at the end of the day, it is just like walking. Yeah. It is complicated and it's intimidating for sure.
It is. And that's where the girls trip comes in.
Hell yeah. So how did you start the girls trip? I know prior to that, you did your through hike. Well, you did multiple sort of through hikes, I guess, after you attempted the AT. Yeah. Talk about that.
So before I did the AT in 2020, like I said, I was hiking solo a lot, and not a ton of friends. So I started guiding hikes in Georgia for this organization called Hiker Babes. I'm sure you've heard of them. And they have chapters all over the US and they do it in other countries too. There was a post on Facebook that was like, we're looking for ambassadors for other states. And so I like applied for it and it wasn't really much of an application. The lady was just like, sure, you can do it. So I just like started leading hikes for Hiker Babes. I would post it on my Facebook and just be like, hey, I'm going to hike this. Like, any ladies that want to join? I knew everybody that came, but it was just like random acquaintances from my Facebook that showed up. I was like, okay, cool. Like, this is fun. And then it just like spiraled out of control in the best way possible. Like, we did kayaking. We ended up doing like indoor rock climbing a lot. We did backpacking. We did rafting. Like, it wasn't just hiking. Like, we did everything and formed like amazing bonds through this group. Saw other girls forming awesome bonds that like they never would have met each other if it weren't for Hiker Babes. That started it all. Okay, so before that, I haven't always had the easiest time making girlfriends. Like I said, I've always been a tomboy. I, in my older days, could come off as a little intimidating. I think I'm much more mellow now, but some of my friends have always been like, yeah, I was like scared of you at first. I'm like, I don't know. Okay. And so like, I haven't always had the best time making girlfriends. I've always felt that girls can be very catty and it just like, you know how it goes, you're a girl. So
totally.
It's just, you know how it can be. And the older we get, I think we definitely like phase out of that, or we realize that like, to be for women, and I, you know, the cattiness goes away, or it should at least.
I didn't make my first best girlfriend until I was like 22 or 23.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And that's like, that was one friend. And now I have a lot of friends that are girls, but it takes a long time, especially I used to get the same feedback of like, oh, you're so intimidating, which is hilarious. I don't get it, but.
Which is actually funny because if you think about it, it's like, are we intimidating or is that other female intimidated by other females? And I think I think most females are just intimidated by other females because we don't want to act a certain way, or like we want them to like us, but we don't want to try too hard. And it's all just like
social pressure.
It's all just fucked. Like, it's stupid.
Yeah.
It is. It's a lot of social pressure. And part of my company is like trying to like push past that and just not have that anymore because it's dumb and it's a waste of everybody's energy. But I can get into that later. Okay, so backtrack. Me and my friend group that I kind of created that ended up getting together because of Hiker Babes, we did a trip to Havasu in Arizona, and I think it was 7 of us that went. And there was a lot of planning, and so it just made sense for like one person to get the permits and plan instead of like, you know, herding cats. It was like, I'll just figure all of it out. And then you guys just like, I'll tell you how much you owe me and like what time to be where. And so I planned this whole trip And I had so much fun planning it. It wasn't even a headache for me doing the logistics. I was like, this is awesome. I love this so much. After that trip, that was the second flame. So you have like Hiker Babes flame, and then you've got like the Havasu trip flame. So then after the AT, I went out and did a through hike of the Tahoe Rim Trail with a guy that I was dating at the time. While we were out there, I saw a sign for the Channel Islands National Park, which I like to hit national parks if I'm near them. And I didn't even know about this national park. And this is in 2021. And so I was like, dang, like, I really wish that, you know, I had planned better and could have gone and seen that national park. Hmm. I knew we were also near Catalina Island, which is where the Trans Catalina Trail is. And I've always wanted to do that. In my head, I was scheming. I'm like, I can come do the Trans Catalina Trail. I've got the two flames going. And I'm like, okay, I can make this into a girls' trip. Like, this would be awesome. Trans Catalina is an easy enough trail that I just start like planning. Like, as soon as I get home from California, I sit down at the kitchen table and like I'm handwriting out this itinerary for how to make this trip. I decide I'm finally going to do it. I'm going to do this travel company, this girls trip. And in my head, I keep saying it's going to be a girls trip. Yeah. All right, it's the Girls Trip Adventure Co. Like, that's just what it's supposed to be. So I have this whole itinerary, the most well-detailed plan I've ever done of anything in my life. So I call my mom, like, super excited. I'm like, this is my idea, blah, blah, blah. She was like, yeah, I totally support that. That's amazing. You should do it. You sound very excited about it. I have a nasty habit of getting excited about things and, like, not following through. But this was one where I'm like, I am doing this no matter what. My partner at the time, I tell him my idea. And one of our acquaintances had, like, just recently come to him and been like, hey, I have a business idea, I want to run it by you. And he's like, cool. And like, he was good at business. And so she like runs her idea by him. He like, you know, listens to the whole thing. And he's like, okay, cool. Have you thought of this, this, this? And he's like going over a business plan. So like, that kind of gave me the courage to be like, okay, I can tell him my business plan and like see what he has to say. So I sit down and I'm like, hey, I have something I'm really excited about. I want to talk to you about it. So I run it by him. He literally says, I mean, it could all fall apart.
Whoa.
That's what he said to me. I have all this excitement and passion in my heart for this thing that I'm good at and I'm like on fire for. And that's his response. So that is flame number four. So you've got Hiker Babes flame, you've got the Havasu trip, you've got me sitting at the kitchen table, like getting this whole thing together. And then you have like a man telling me that it's not gonna work. Like, fuck you, like flip the table. Yeah. I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
So long story short, we break up. And when he said that dumb shit, I was like, okay, well, here I go. Watch me go. Can't stop me.
Yeah. And
so that was 2021. I opened that trip up for booking in February or March of 2022. Did that trip July of 2022. It was awesome. The connections that the girls formed were beautiful and genuine and easy. Just the amount of like fulfillment and clarity that I was filled with after that trip was out of this world. It's like a drug.
Amazing confirmation too.
Yes, completely. Yeah. You know, of course I was a little nervous to begin with. And of course there were hiccups along the way during the trip, but like when it was all said and done, I was on a train headed down to San Diego to see my best friend. That is the most content and successful I think I've ever felt. Just like sitting there, like looking out the window, watching California Beach go by as I'm going down to San Diego, just being like, wow, I started my own business. I just successfully ran my first trip and people are happy. I'm doing this. Like, I'm 2 feet in, not backing out from it. You know,
that's
like
incredible.
It felt so good. And that's not to say that I haven't had moments where I question it or my spirits are a little bit lower, but 90% of the time I'm like on fire for it and I'm ready to go.
What do you think your biggest challenges have been with starting your own business?
The only thing that comes naturally to this for me is my passion for backpacking and teaching people and showing people the way. Like, that's the only thing that's coming naturally to me. My dad's been an entrepreneur my whole life, and so I have quite a bit of that in me from him, thankfully. I've been able to ask him a lot of questions. Google is a godsend.
Of course.
There's just parts of running a business that, like, I want nothing to do with.
Totally.
But as a startup business, like, I kind of have to do everything right now. Like, you know, I can't pay someone to do my bookkeeping. I can't, you know, pay someone to like figure out tax stuff for me. So I just have to kind of figure it out and like limp my way through it is how I feel right now. I just don't understand jargon. Can you just put this in simple words for me? I don't know what you're saying. Yeah. So yeah, when it comes to like business license and like liability and all of that stuff, oh my God, like I'm just having to figure this out and it's a lot of information. So that's definitely been a struggle for me, but I'm working through it. It's all good. That's pretty much like the hard part. Another hard part is the beginning of it, of being like, are people going to take me seriously? Do people believe in this? You know, like, are they just like, oh, there's Jackie again, just like
going outside, trying to get people to go with her.
Going out and convincing people to go in the woods with her, you know? Like, I don't know. It's like, are people going to take this seriously? And, like, at first, just being like, how am I going to get customers? Like, am I just going to be taking my friends backpacking? And, you know, I love my friends, but, like, I don't just want to take people I know. I want to reach out and get strangers to come out here and, like, in this new world. So that was definitely, like, at first, I was just constantly thinking of, like, how am I going to get new people? And which has worked out phenomenally. That's going fine.
Yeah, you're like really leveraging Instagram for that, right?
Big time. Yeah, Instagram is my easiest. For me, it's the easiest social media platform that I understand the most.
Yeah.
Finding people is going better than I thought it would be. And then my last thing I struggle with is just criticism, I guess. I like to get feedback from all of my trips. So if I have like any like little like, oh, you could, you know, maybe try this differently. I'm like, no, it's perfect how it was. Like, why didn't you? But I just need to get thicker skin if I'm going to run my own business, you know?
Yeah, I have the same thing when I get feedback from writing clients. Like, I'll see the email come in with the feedback and I'm like, fuck. And I look at it and I'm like, what does this mean about me? I'm a horrible writer. This person hates me. Yes. I did that great. This person doesn't even know what grammar is. And then you get through it and you're like, okay, it really wasn't a big deal. I can just change these like three things. No one hates me. I don't need to have imposter syndrome, you know? Yes.
Imposter syndrome is another one. I'm glad you brought that up. That's another one is like, am I even a guide?
Yeah.
I have moments where I'm like, I'm not actually a backpacking guide. Like, I'm just out here hiking and like, I just convinced like strangers to come hike. Like, I'm not a guide, you know? Which is dumb because I am. Like, people pay me to guide them up mountains, and I do that. Therefore, I am a guide. And
are you also need to... a licensed guide?
Yeah, I just need to like.
You have a license for this.
Like,
yeah, but it's so easy. This is like just the perfect example of like imposter syndrome is just like lurking around the corner. Like, it doesn't matter what you do, imposter syndrome will sneak up on you. You're literally a licensed guide who gets paid to do what you do, and you still have imposter syndrome about it. And I think that's totally normal. It's annoying, but it's normal.
It's actually like super ironic that we're talking about this today because I've been a raft guide. This is my second season being a raft guide. And today was my first day on the river with 0% nervous and actually feeling like a freaking raft guide. Why did it take me this long to feel that way? Like, if you had asked me last year, like, oh, are you a raft guide? I'd be like, I mean, like, kind of. Like, yeah. I take people down the river, but like, am I a guide? And now I'm like, no, like, I am a raft guide. Like, that is that.
Yeah.
No imposter syndrome anymore. And that just happened today on the river, which is just wild that we're talking about it right now.
Yeah. I mean, I think some of it is like the experience, like the 10,000 hours, right? But some of it is also just, this is natural and normal and you might get it again in the future. You don't know. But I think that I had a very similar experience with like through hiking. I've had it with writing too, and I still sometimes struggle with it. But with through hiking, especially, I have like this very vivid memory of standing on McAfee Knob on the AT and being like, I'm a real through hiker. I'm doing it, you know? And, then, and like, I didn't, obviously, I think that was like, what, 500-ish miles in. Yeah. And that was the first moment where I really felt like a through hiker. And I'd been doing it, I don't know, how long was I out there at that point? Like 2 months or something? Yeah. And that was the first day. I mean, that was also my first ever backpacking trip, but, you know, that moment of like really feeling like it is true and it is you. There's this incorporation with your identity, sort of, you know?
Yeah. Well, I will say once you get your McAfee picture, there's no turning back. You have to, gotta keep going once you have your McAfee picture.
Yeah, that shit goes viral. That was the most likes I ever got on Instagram. And then I was like, oh, I can't quit now.
Yep, gotta keep going. I already told everybody that follows me what I'm doing. Yeah.
I would love to talk a little bit about how you're balancing your business with your the rest of your life, since you have other seasonal jobs and, you know, you have, I'm assuming you have a life and you moved to Maine a couple of years ago. How have you been able to balance that and sort of manage to put in the hours of getting these clients and organizing these trips and going on these trips and also those other jobs and the rest of your stuff?
So this is definitely something that I need to work on for sure, is just finding balance, having like a set schedule, which is really hard to do with seasonal work. In the winter, I work as a snowmaker, which is a very demanding job for a few months, basically November 1st until March 1st ish. I'm 5 days a week, 12 hour shifts. Mm-hmm. And as soon as you get home, it's like shovel food in your mouth, go to sleep. Like you have no time for anything those 5 days. And then on my days off, it's like, I just need to sleep and do laundry and go grocery shopping and maybe snowboard. And that's all you have time for.
Yeah.
Kind of kicked my ass this winter, like trying to run my business too, because I had a really big girls trip to Alaska in March. And so it got to the point where I was like, holy shit, Alaska is almost here. I have a lot to do. That I don't have a lot of free time. So I just had to suck it up and start staying up late. And I get to a point where, like, if I wait too long to plan something, my brain will not let me sleep. Like, I just anxiety spiral about it. The only thing that keeps me up at night is girls trip stuff. I will stare at the ceiling and I'll just like twiddle my thumbs. Like, I have all these ideas and all these things I need to work on. And then I'll shut my eyes. And I try to force myself to go to sleep and I can't. And then I get up and I go to my desk and open my laptop and I will just work until like 4 a.m. and then I'll either go to sleep finally or I'll just like start going about my day. And it's like very frustrating.
Yeah,
that mainly happened over the winter just because I had like negative time. I think I'm going to have to tell my winter job that I just can't do 60 hours this winter.
Yeah, that's a lot of time.
It's a lot for 3 months out of the year. I'm like fully dedicating myself to this thing. And it doesn't, when you say it, it doesn't sound like that much. It's only 3 months. But at the same time, it like, it's all consuming. I mean,
yeah,
like, I don't even have time to cook. Like I have to like meal prep or my boyfriend will cook. And it's just, like, I don't have time to walk. I don't have energy to walk my dog. Like it's just.
Yeah. If I'm you so- spent that much time, it doesn't feel like a lot of time, but if you spent that same amount of time on say girls trip or something else, then you would be like, oh my God, that's so much time. And I did so much stuff, you know, exactly. I got so much done. Yeah,
exactly. And like, unfortunately I'm still passionate about this seasonal job and I still like really, I still pretty much like it.
Yeah. So and it's a really nice to get that free ski pass.
And it is nice to get that for sure. And that's kind of why I do it. But anyways, I mean, there's easier jobs I could do, but this one's really badass and cool. But
cool.
I need to work on that this winter for sure. But with summer guiding, we got a lot more free time. Like I leave the house at 6 a.m. and I get back usually around 4. So I have the whole evening and there's so much daylight in the summer. So I feel more productive in the evening versus the winter. It's, you know, it's dark at 5 o'clock. I'm like, I don't want to
deal with. Totally. And you have less energy. Like basically at 3 p.m. in the winter in Maine, you want to start to go to bed.
Dude, I'm just like tired and sad. I'm like, I don't want to do anything. I just want to eat SpaghettiOs and go to bed. And so I try to utilize that. Unfortunately, it's hard for me to separate like the social media aspect from any other time I'm on my phone. So like if I go to check my personal Instagram, of course, I'm going to end up doing business Instagram stuff. And same with, you know, Facebook and all that and like emails and I'm not really sure how to separate that and if I can, which it's not a hindrance in my mind. So I'm just going to keep that how it is.
For me, it really started to affect my mental health.
Yes.
So I got to a point, I took like 3 months off of Instagram. Like I was still doing coaching and I was still getting coaching clients. And like, I just stopped using Instagram. It helped a lot. And then when I came back, I set a lot more firm boundaries around it. Like when I was I was living in the van for 2021, and I was also coaching, and I was like trying to get coaching clients, and I was launching a new program and all this stuff. And I was on Instagram all the fucking time. I would just like document every part of my life, because I was like, I don't know what people want to see. I don't know what's effective. This is all cool. Like, the whole reason I started writing, freelance writing, was to do van life. So I was like, well, this must be inspiring to somebody. And then you get to a point where like, there are no boundaries on my life. I'm just sharing everything. I'm on Instagram every fucking day, all the fucking time. And it gets exhausting and annoying. And now I know like what is worth sharing and when it's worth sharing. I love watching like Q&As with YouTubers who they're always at the beginning, like, you have to love making videos. And at the beginning, like with vloggers, they're always like, you just share everything and you film everything. And now they're at a point 5 years in where they tell like deliberate stories and they do deliberate challenges for specific goals and like for a specific story. But they only learned how to do that because they shared everything at first. Mm-hmm. And they had no boundaries at first. And so it's almost like you have to walk the line of finding boundaries, and you'll hit burnout before you can find that boundary, unfortunately. And yeah. I think that's true of like a lot of people who use social media for marketing. Because also we grew up, I mean, you're only a couple years older than me. I feel like we grew up on social media. I got my first social media in like high school, middle school. Yeah. And that is just part of our lives now. And yeah, so does then add work to that? It's like, I don't know. There's no boundary. It's like the guy who hosts, have you seen that show Hot Ones, where they like eat spicy wings and interview people?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like that guy in chicken wings. Like, he doesn't eat chicken wings anymore, you know? But who knew that those boundaries would go at like that personal life boundary versus that like online boundary? It's hard to find. And I think it's just like an experiment, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it is weird because especially like being able to link accounts on your phone, it's like if you're on one, you're going to be on the other. You know, I do think this is really cool. Do people want to see this? And like, you get into the habit. I do that. I get into the habit more with my personal than my business. But still, it's social media is such a double-edged sword because it can help you build a business, but it can really hinder your mental health and your productivity of other parts of your life. To the point where like, this is so embarrassing, but my thumb joint was hurting.
And I was
I was like, oh my God, am I gonna have to go to the doctor because my fucking thumb hurts because I've been scrolling so much? This is embarrassing. Yeah. And that day I deleted both the apps off my phone. I was like, okay, you need to reevaluate like what you're doing right now. Such an embarrassing fact about myself.
No, it's true. I had the same problem, and it's like a phenomenon. Like it's you're not the only one. Like, a lot of people experience this, which is fucked up and sad and crazy.
It's
but
so
true.
Sad. It's yeah. So like, people used to have painful hands from working hard, and now we're just like scrolling on Instagram trying to
only your thumb hurts.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah. I will say, so I downloaded this app called One Sec. It basically makes you do, it like pops up an intervention every time you try to open an app. Like, you can set it for whatever app you want. So I have it set for Instagram, and it won't open Instagram for a full like 60 seconds. And I have it, it'll say like, take a deep breath. And it like loads this visual for you to like take a deep breath and let it out. And every single time I'm like so annoyed when it pops up, because I'm like, oh, it's just wasting my time. Yeah. And then you take a deep breath and you slow down. And you're like, I don't even need to be on Instagram right now.
Yeah. You're like, I don't need to search that thing. I don't need to post that meme. I don't,
you know. It's helped so much. And it shows you how many times you've tried to open whatever app you're opening. So it'll be like, you tried to open Instagram 27 times in the last 24 hours. Your last use was like 30 minutes ago. And it's like, oh, I don't want to be on Instagram with those stats. This is awful. I'm not going to open it.
Dude, it like calls you out. Yeah. I think
it's really helpful.
Show you how many times you pick up your phone in a day, which is absurd because like, so many times when I pick up my phone, like, it's not to text somebody, it's not to answer a call, it's to just like waste my fucking time while I'm sitting still. Whereas like, I could be reading a book, or I could be like watching the leaves on the tree and enjoying something pretty, but instead I'm just like filling my brain with like dumb shit that I don't even care about most of the time.
Yeah. And it's interesting because sometimes we let, especially when you're like scrolling stories, my friend calls it like hijacking your brain. Like, you just let someone else hijack your brain. You don't know what you're going to see. You just let someone else tell you what they want to tell you or show you what they want to show you. And it's like, why am I doing that?
Yeah. Either way.
When you frame it like that, it's like, ah, but at the same time, 30% of my income is from clients that I got on Instagram. So again, there's boundaries, there's balance. The only way to find it is to experiment. And like, it's an addiction and it's a valid challenge for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thanks for being vulnerable about that.
Always. That's my thing.
Have you been able to find community in your in the entrepreneurship world and been able to like talk to other people about what it's like starting your business and like commiserate in any way?
One of the best people I've met through this, or most helpful people, is actually another company called Lift Life Travel. And it's women's trips, but they're international. And it's more of backpacking, like the travel backpacking, not wilderness backpacking. And the woman who runs it, her name is Barbie. Our businesses are pretty similar, like with what we do. It's been great to be able to talk to her. She actually has an MBA. And so she knows so much about running business. Ooh, like, yeah. What I am passionate about guiding and being outside, she is passionate and knowledgeable about running a business and building a business. Mm. Like to hear her speak, I'm just like, wow, you're a genius. Like, I don't know what the hell I'm doing here. But then, you know, if she were to see me guide in the outside, she'd be like, wow, you're a genius. I don't know what the hell I'm doing here. Mm. So it's been very helpful talking with her, and it's been really refreshing to talk to someone who's not competing, you know, because we are technically quite different in what we offer. And she's just so willing to like share knowledge and offer help. And she's been really great. There's a few other guides up here in Maine that do similar things. And it's been good to talk with them about how to get clients or commiserate when we're not getting clients. And guiding in Maine is a really special thing. It's just cool meeting people that, you know, do the thing as well. I was taking a course to get my Maine rec guide license, and the lady who ran it, she runs a bike packing company up in rural Maine. It was really just been really good chatting with her, because our businesses, I think, are on very similar levels of like how deep we are into it. And it's just nice learning things from her. Like, you know, for me, I'm like, well, what would I do if a client, you know, acted this way? And like, she's already experienced it, so she can tell me. It's just very helpful to get the information from people who are a little more senior than I am.
Yeah. Having a community and having these people to talk to makes it so much easier and faster than having to like figure all these things out on your own, you know?
Yeah, definitely. And it makes you feel so much less alone. And like, when you're stressed out, you're like, oh my God, am I good at this? And then you talk to someone like, no, like that's normal to go through that, you know? So,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Quells the imposter syndrome a little bit.
Yeah, exactly.
What's next for your business? I know you guys have some trips coming up. Do you want to talk about those?
So our next trip is in October, at the end of October. I don't remember the exact dates off the top of my head, but we're doing the same trip that we did last July. We're going to do the Trans Catalina Trail, which is 39.5 miles across the interior of Catalina Island, which is off the coast of Southern California. And it's a gorgeous island. It's there's wild bison, which is really cool. The campsites are awesome. Two of our campsites are right on the ocean. One is like really secluded on the ocean, and it's just like you hear the big crashing waves all night. With that trip, we also go to the Channel Islands, so we take a ferry out there. Channel Islands is one of the most underrated U.S. national parks ever. It's incredible. There's like a max of like 40 people camping there when you're there.
Wow.
There's these tiny little like wild foxes everywhere. Like there's no way you won't see one. And we are going kayaking through some sea caves while we're out there. So that's a really cool trip. It's beginner friendly. If you've never backpacked, you'll be all right. I'll show you how to do everything. And then we're doing the same Alaska trip again in March, but we're actually going to do it twice. We're going to do two trips back to back because last year we just like, I had to turn down so many people. And while we were out there, the girl that ran it with me, Nicole, we both were like, could you do this again? Like, yeah. I think I could do this again. She's like, cool, we should. So we decided we'll do it back to back. So that's a ski, snowboard, and yoga retreat. So we'll be doing yoga every single day We'll be skiing and snowboarding 2 or 3 days. We go snowmobiling. We'll be dog sledding. We'll be hiking on a glacier, doing all the winter Alaska things. Yeah, I just got back from the Smokies with a group of 6. And for 4 of them, it was their first backpacking trip ever. It was really cool.
Wow. The Smokies are a good first.
I know. Yeah. We went to LeConte Lodge.
Nice.
So we'll be doing that again in 2024 once I grab permits for it. But I don't have the dates for that, obviously. Ideally, for the girls' trip, I would like to run one trip per month, probably like 9 months out of the year, do one trip per month, and then build from there.
Mm-hmm.
Also trying to do a collaborative trip with Lift Life Travel of backpacking in Yosemite.
Ooh. So, cool.
So stay tuned for that, because we're gonna go for permits and see what dates we get and how we can pull that off with a big group.
Sounds like you would benefit from doing, like, I'm not trying to tell you what to do, but from like spending, you know, you go on the Alaska trip in the winter and you have a trip in March, but in those in-between times, like, just using that to just like plan and build your business and learn the things to work on your business. And then the other 9 months of the year, you can work in your business and maybe just have like a part-time job in the winter or whatever.
Yeah. So I'm trying to get away from having to work on anything besides the girls' trip.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, I still like this seasonal job I have, but physically my body won't be able to do it forever. Like, it's a very ending thing. So who knows how long I'll be there doing that. But yeah, I definitely, it would make so much more sense and be a lot easier on me if I could just like serve part time, which also is like really good money in the winter at the ski resort.
Totally.
So, yeah, you know how that goes. So that would be the most ideal, is if I could just like work part time over the winter so I can actually have plenty of time to work on the girls' trip and snowboard, which is why I moved here in the first place, is to like hobby, you know. And I don't get to do enough of that.
Yeah, and you can pay for a ski pass, you know.
I mean, yeah, I can. I don't want to, but I can.
Okay, last question. Where can people find you online?
So we talk about social media a lot. So on Instagram, we are at The Girls Trip Adventure Co. Same with Facebook, just The Girls Trip Adventure Co. Facebook page. You can like it and follow it. And then our website is thegirlstripadventureco.com. And the best way to keep in touch is on Instagram, or you can join our email list. Whenever we have a new trip pop up, I do send out an email. That's pretty much the only time I email. I promise I won't annoy you.
Wow, this is amazing. Thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for talking with me. I really, really appreciate it.
Y'all, I had so much fun getting to know Jackie, and I hope you guys did too. Go follow Jackie on Instagram to keep up with all of the amazing trips she's hosting in 2023 and 2024. This is your sign, even if you're just building something on the side of a job you already have, go out and take the risk. What have you got to lose? Thanks for tuning in, and I can't wait to share our next interview with you. This podcast was created and produced by Rachel Meltzer. The music is by Ketza from the Free Music Archive. You can find more information about the resources discussed in this podcast in the show notes below or on our blog at meltzerseltzer.com/blog. That's meltzerseltzer.com/blog. Also, while you're here, did you know that I offer courses and coaching for new freelance writers? Check it out at meltzerseltzer.com/coaching.